Thanks for joining us today for the High Point Church podcast. We are very excited that God is using messages from our church to touch lives in and around the world. Welcome to the High Point Church podcast.
Hey, let's open up this morning. We're going to break into God's word, and we're in this short series, He is Greater Than I. And so let's just ask God to come and open his word and reveal it to us today. God, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you, God, that when we invite you, Holy Spirit, when we invite you, you show up without fail. And so, God, I pray that this morning as we open your word, Lord, that your words would speak even beyond what I have to say and what you've given me to preach today. Father, I pray that the voice of the Spirit would speak into our lives and would convict us of sin and, Lord, would set us on the path that we need to go. And God, I pray that in those decisions that we make today, God, that it wouldn't be made lightly, but God, we would make a decision to completely sell out for you and follow your plan, whatever it might be. That God, we might truly say that you must become greater in our lives and we must become less. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Last week we kind of kicked this off. This is an idea, a principle that we see in the story of John the Baptist when he was baptizing, and some of his disciples noticed that Jesus was also baptizing people now, and his disciples came to him kind of wronged. They felt wronged, and they said, you know, like, hey, remember that Jesus guy that you baptized last week? Well, look at him now. What's he doing? Now he's just down the stream from us, and he's baptizing. And, you know, all of our followers are starting to go his direction. And there was a real attitude, kind of, that we read into that story of, like, hey, we've got our territory, and he's got his territory, and it's starting to infringe on ours. But John knew his place. And John came through, and it says in John chapter 3, verse 30, that John the Baptizer said this. He said that he, Jesus, must become greater, and I must become less. And we said that so many times in our way of thinking and in our world that it's all about us, isn't it? We think about ourselves, and we said that many times we take a selfie, and we determine whether it's a good or even a group photo, we determine whether it's a good photo based upon how we look. Everyone else might look really nice, and yet you've got your snaggle tooth hanging out, and you say that's a horrible photo, and everybody else thinks it's a great photo. Why? Because it's about you, right? And we said that in God's world, that it really needs to be all about him, that he must become greater, and we must become less. And less. As a matter of fact, that's what the New Living Translation, that's how it reads. It says, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. And it's a gradual progression of less of us and more of him. And we said, how do we do that? We said that we must lose our focus on ourselves. We must sometimes lose our stuff and stop saying that it all belongs to me. Realize that it's all his. And that he's given it all to us, everything that we have, he's given to us. So we must be good stewards of it and return it to him. And then we said we must give God our lives. We have to lose our lives so that he can have his way in our life. And, you know, the real question that I think we wonder about is, you know, and I think if we had John the Baptizer here today, we would want to ask him this because he would be one to answer this. John, how do we, you say we must be, he must become greater and greater, and we must become less and less. John, how do we do that? How do we make ourselves less significant in our desires and in this world? And so we're going to take a look at that question alone today. How do I become less, and how do I make God greater in my life? And it's not that we make God greater. God is already great. But in our perspective, in our eyes, and in our actions, not just our words, how do we make him more important than us so God becomes greater than I. And you know, here's the thing about it, is that there's not a formula. Wouldn't you like it if A plus B equals C, and I could tell you, do these three steps, and bada bing, bada boom, there you are. Now God is greater and you're less. But the truth is that it's not about a formula, but rather it's a journey, and it's a process. As a matter of fact, it's probably different for everybody, right? Have you ever had a kid? I remember my daughters were little, and I remember when it was time for them to start walking, right? They get to about, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 months a year, you know? And you start thinking, like, is this kid going to walk or what? And some kids just don't. They want to stay on the ground, right? Terra firma. They just want to stay down there. They'll crawl everywhere. And you go, is this kid ever going to walk? Other kids are up early, and they're walking, and you think, oh, is it too soon? But, you know, and there's just no perfect age. And even when you think your kid is at the perfect time, what do? You hold them by the fingers, right? And here's a photo of a lovely baby in his diaper, naked kid, whatever. And, you know, the parent holds him by their fingers as their legs begin to strengthen and they take those wobbly steps. You think any day this is going to happen. And for some kids, that's true. But for other kids, the minute you let go, they're back on the floor and they're crawling. And you think to yourself, why doesn't this kid want to walk? Why doesn't this kid want to go? It'd be so easy for this kid to just start walking. Why doesn't he want to do that? And you think that's exactly what you want for them, isn't it? Until they start walking, right? And then you're like, lock it down, right? The whole house is at risk, you know. But really, it's different for every kid. Not kids don't just walk at 9 months, 10 months, 11, 12. You know, they don't walk at a certain time. It's different for every kid. And I think it's important for us to realize that as followers of Jesus, that sometimes the development process takes a little bit longer in some of us, and sometimes it's a shorter process. But whatever the case, it's almost never the same. Oswald Chambers, he said this, that never make a principle out of your experience. Let God be as original with other people as he was with you. Your story is different, isn't it? Your story is different than your mom and your dad and your cousin, your brother, your sister. Your story of life change, your story of God making an impact on your life is completely different. We need to remember that it's not a formula, but rather it is a journey. So the process is different for everybody, but the goal really is the same, isn't it? The goal really is that God would become greater and greater, and that we would become less and less. And how do we do that? I think that's the big question, isn't it? How do we become less when everything inside of us wants to be more? I mean, it's everywhere. It's in, you go to business classes and they're telling you, you need to make more money, you need to carry more influence, and you need to be more important than anybody else. And so our world preaches this at us, and our mind is programmed to just roll in this kind of a mindset. So how do we do it? And I think the answer also is found in Scripture. And again, it's not a perfect process, but it is a journey that we go on. And the answer is this, that we need to renew our minds. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let's take a look at that. Excuse me. All right. So we need to renew our minds. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What does it mean to conform? It means to be in the shape of. It means to be made into a pattern, into a cookie cutter, kind of like a cake pan, right? A cake pan, when you pour the batter into the cake pan, it conforms to the shape of the cake pan. And so don't conform, right? Don't fit the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? The pattern of this world, all about me. The pattern of this world is everything matters as long as it has to do with me. So the pattern of this world is what they want us to fit in, but we need to not conform to that, but be transformed. How do we do that? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says this, that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And you say, okay, let's take another look at that. We demolish arguments and every pretension, anything that would set itself up as more important, as more valuable, as more or greater than God himself, anything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, what are we to do with it? We're to demolish it. What a great word, right? That we would demolish that kind of thinking in our lives. Think about what it leads to when we get our own way all the time. Have you ever known a kid that got his way all the time? What did you call him? I heard Asher. That was his father. Okay. That's great. A kid that gets his way all the time is called a brat, right? A brat. And so what do we want to do with brats? We want to spank them, right? We want to demolish them. No, I'm kidding. You don't want to demolish your child. But you want to demolish the attitude in that child, don't you? And so that's great advice. This is what he's saying, is he's saying that attitude of me, 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 my own way, what I want is what matters more than what anybody else thinks. That mindset needs to be demolished, needs to be beaten out of us, right? And then so what do? It says that we're supposed to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So that thought that comes into our head that says, I want, right? We take it captive and we say, what does it look like for what God wants in this situation? It's a real active step, isn't it? It's not something that is passive in any way. It's something that we have to take the steps to do it. We have to take the progress and say, it's not just going to happen to me. I've got to take captive that thought, right? If you're going to take someone captive, what do? You pull out the big guns, right? And you come at them and you say, all right, now you're not going to do anything as long as I am in control here, right? And so what we do is we will take captive that thought and we will make it obedient to Christ. The problem is this, that like we said, that the way of this world that we conform to is to do exactly opposite of what God wants in our lives. It's all about us. The way of this world is all about what we want instead of what God wants. And you know what happens is this, that kind of attitude, as it affects the way that we think, it affects the things that we do, right? It affects the decisions that we make. It affects the places that we go. It affects the people that we hang out with. We don't hang out with people necessarily just for their sake. We hang out with them for us. Our thoughts enter our minds, and eventually they become our actions. So what do we got to do? We got to watch our thoughts. Listen to this. Margaret Thatcher made this statement. I think it's pretty neat. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. And watch your habits, for they become your character. And watch your character, for it will become your destiny. What a great, wise statement. You know, there's something that happens when we begin to do things over and over and over again, the same way all the time. What happens is we begin to develop habits, and those habits lead to changes in our character, and of course, changes in our character will predict the outcome for our life. There's a great video that Elevation Church down in North Carolina did, and I want to show this video to you, just kind of talking about the brain. People smarter than I put this together, and you should watch it. Here we go.
The human brain, made of approximately 100 billion neurons. the same number of stars that exist within our galaxy. The human brain monitors and regulates all of the body's actions and reactions. With over 5 trillion chemical operations occurring every second, and signals being transferred at speeds of over 260 miles per hour, our brain is rapidly analyzing and responding to all of the sights, sounds, and smells all around us. Now, because we are all born slaves to sin, our mind has been programmed to behave out of selfish desire. The way we think, dream, reason, and act are limited to the ways of this world. Now consider the facts for a moment. For every behavior we experience, our brain creates a neurological pathway. As behaviors are repeated, those pathways become increasingly more stable. Think of it this way. A single behavior maps out a dirt road in your brain, creating a basic pathway for your thoughts to travel. But as you repeat behaviors, your brain builds a highway, allowing for an increased volume and frequency of thoughts to move about, resulting in your day-to-day actions. In order to change our behavior, we must reprogram our brain. It requires the deconstruction of existing highways and is a process that takes time. The Bible directs us to take every thought captive and to commit daily to the renewing of our mind through the power of God's Word. And in time, the result is the formation of an entirely new neurological roadmap, leading you to the life you were meant to live.
Isn't that cool? I mean, really, what we're saying is that those old habits are hard to break. And yet, God calls us to break out of the old way of living and to be transformed by renewing our minds. How do we renew our minds? We take captive every thought, and we make it obedient to Christ, right? It's like correcting a child, only you're the child, right? And you're saying, no, you're going to do this. You take them captive, and you sit them down, and you say, this is what you're going to do, because this is who I want you to be. Only it's real hard when we have to do it to ourselves, isn't it? And so what we're going to take a look at is the goal is taking captive every thought, making them obedient to Christ. And what happens when we do that is that God becomes greater in our lives and we become less. So how do we renew our mind? Now, I'm not going to say there's, you know, a quick step, easy way to do this, but here's a couple of ideas and a couple of things that I believe we need to do. Number one, renewing our mind involves spending time with God. We need to know who God is. We need to be able to understand what He wants for our lives. And really, the way that we do that is by spending time with God. Think about any good relationship that you have. What do? You spend time with that person. If you want that relationship to grow, you spend more time with that person. If you want a relationship to die, you spend less time with that person. And where you invest is where you see growth, and where you pull away is where you see things begin to wither up and fade away. And relationship with God takes communication, right? You need to talk to God. You need to spend time, first of all, in prayer. Relationship with God is no different than spending time with your best friend. You need to spend time and commit to it that you're going to spend time in prayer with God, talking to God. Prayer is not always one way. Communication, good communication is not one way. We think communication sometimes is just saying what we think, but really, good communication is a two-way street, isn't it? Because we send a message, it has to be heard and repeated back and confirmed. Yeah, that's what I meant, or no, that's not what I meant. And so good communication isn't us being a radio signal that broadcasts to the world, but rather it's a dialogue. It's something that goes back and forth. Conversation with God is the same way. We talk to God. We share our hopes and dreams with Him. We pray for God's will to be made in our world and in our lives, right? And then what do? We listen for His voice. God, I want to see what You want in my life. And so we need to carve time out in our life for that. We also need to read God's word. God reveals himself through scripture. Reading God's word is like eating. It should be like eating. That we don't have to do it, but rather we want to do it. Have you ever, I know when I was younger, I didn't like coffee at all. Which is kind of ironic that we're opening a coffee shop, right? But I didn't. I didn't start drinking coffee until like the last maybe 3 years. It's a shame. Well, you know, like I would take a drink of coffee and one time Jody would get a drink for me every Sunday to have when I would go up to speak. It's typically Coke Zero, in case you think it's coffee. And today it's tea because I'm trying to get this voice going. But she would get me a drink. And this one day, I forget how she did it, but someone else filled it. And instead of filling it with my traditional Coke Zero, it was iced coffee. And I'm sitting on the front row, and I take a big drink before I go up because I want to get my vocal cords going, right? And I take a big drink, and I'm sitting there, and there's nowhere to go with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's time to walk up on the stage. So I had to swallow it. And I was just like, oh, what did you just do to me, Jody? Like, we're fighting later, you know? Like, we didn't fight, but I was like, that is the worst joke she's ever played on me. That is what I was thinking. So anyway, I did not take a second drink, but I was just like, I can't believe she just did that to me. But you know, they say about coffee that it's an acquired taste, right? And I used to think to myself, why would I need to acquire something that's delicious? You know, like if it's good, it's good right from the jump, right? It's not like I have to work my way into liking something. You know, donuts, I have no problem liking donuts right from the start. There's no problem. We're best friends, me and donuts. You know, but coffee, it took a little while. Now, I like it. I like it. but you know, the scripture, listen, you say, I don't know. I just start reading the Bible and I just don't get anything out of it. I'm telling you, there is, I would say it's a little more of an acquired taste, but there's life in it. There's life. There's so much goodness that, like, not just good poetic words in areas of it, but listen, there are stories that as you read it, God will speak to you. You'll read it 10 different times, and one of those times, it'll jump off the page at you, and it becomes this book that is not just something you have to do, you want to do it. You develop an appetite for it. I'd say that's kind of like the desire that we end up having for the scripture, is that we become strengthened by it, so we can't wait to go back to it and to see what it has to say to us. And then you know what? As we read the scriptures and we see where God is speaking and he's saying, you know, I'm challenging you in this area and I'm calling you to this and I've got this promise for you. It begins to come alive inside of us. One of the stories in the scriptures, Matthew chapter 4, we're going to take a look just in a moment. Jesus was walking by the shore and he was calling his followers. And these are his first followers. Here it says in Matthew 4, 18, it says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving their boat and their father behind. You know, the disciples, when they were called, they were looking for something outside of the mundane. They were looking for something that was beyond them. Some scholars say that it was the dream of every young Jewish boy to follow a rabbi. and they'd been passed over, which is why they were doing these other jobs. They were fishermen. They had jobs. They had families. They had a career. They had things to look forward to. But when Jesus came along and said, come, follow me, and I'll make you not fishers of fish, but fishers of men, they jumped at the chance. And they left everything behind, and they followed him. Just the blind obedience to follow Jesus wherever he went. That obedience to leave like that. I wonder, do you have that same kind of obedience? Do you have that same desire to follow God? I'll tell you, when you read the scriptures and you see it come alive, that's what begins to well up inside of you. I remember when we first went to start a church in Pittsburgh, my wife and I and my kids, I was so hungry to follow Jesus in ministering to our community. And we had a whole year before we were ready to start the church that we lived in the community. I just wanted to get started. And one day I was driving by, and I've told this story before, so some of you have heard it, but I was driving by the bus stop where Jody, it was at a bar. It was the bar where Jody hung out. Just kidding, at the bus. Jody would go there in the mornings, take the bus to downtown. But we were driving by, and there was a homeless guy. Guy all dressed, you know, his clothes were all ripped. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, look, there's a homeless guy in Millvale. My heart bleeds with compassion. Drove right to Hardee's. The kids are in the back. We were on the way to Sam's Club to get a bunch of stuff. And I said, we need to get this guy something to eat. I didn't even tell them. I just pulled in the driveway. The kids are like, yay, I want this, I want that. And I said, I just ordered a giant cheeseburger, a large fry, and the biggest Coke I could find. And I paid for it, and the kids are like, Father, you hate us. Why don't you feed us? You big, hungry man. You know, like, they're just looking at me like, how could you get yourself food? And I said, didn't you see the homeless man? The biggest judgy face I could throw them. And they were like, no, we didn't see the homeless guy. I was like, shame, shame, shame on all of you. Especially you, Jody. It was at your bar, you know. So we drove over to the bar, and we parked on the side street. And I said, come on, Jolynn, let's go. She was like 15. And she got out of the car. She's like, what are we doing? I said, we're going to take this homeless man a sandwich. This is a good experience for my child. And we go over, and I said, sir, I drove by and I saw you sitting here, and I felt like God spoke to me and said that you were hungry. Are you hungry? And he looked at me and went, not really. And I said, oh, come on. Like, surely, come on, man, it's lunchtime. It's 2 o'clock. You gotta be hungry. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm on my way to work. And then he looked at his clothes and he's like, oh, you thought I, and I was like, yeah. And he's like, no. I was just working on my deck, and I was getting ready. I'm on my way to work, and I just didn't change. No, I'm good, man. And I was like, surely you're going to get a break at work. Here you go. Have a burger. Have some fries. Here's a Coke. We didn't touch it. It's all yours. God bless you, man. Take care. We're walking back across the street, and Jolynn goes, Dad, he wasn't homeless. I said, shut up and get in the car, you know. And I was like, God, what are you doing to me? You know, like, I was like, you know, and I felt like God spoke to me and said, will you do whatever I ask you to do when I ask you to do it? And I, you know, like, okay, that guy wasn't homeless. He was a rich man with a bigger and better house than I had, with a deck and everything, you know. But he found out that God loved him, you know, a big quarter pounder cheeseburger that day. But for me, it was about obedience. And I think that's how we find that God calls us. God calls us to obedience, you know? And sometimes when it seems like sometimes it can seem like we're taking a step forward or taking a step backward to take a step forward. It just doesn't make sense. I remember when God called us here, like, not that this was a bad place to go, but we had already planted the church we were at, and it was going well, and people were coming to church, and it was a good ministry. And I thought to myself, like, God, why would you call us away? Jody and I had that conversation, like, do we really want to do this again? Start over again? And yet we knew God was calling us to it. And, you know, we've got to be willing to step forward and to do what God wants. Why? Because God must become greater and greater, and we must become less and less in what it is that we want. It was really not a step back at all. I believe that this is, you know, God was setting us up for this the entire time. How do we renew our mind? We need to spend time in God's word so that we know him. We need to spend time in prayer so that we know his voice. We need to also make sure that we are renewing our mind actually involves our daily obedience. It's not about doing what we want to do all the time. It's about doing what God wants us to do. You know, you're going to be obedient to something, right? Sin in the world has a way to conform you. You're going to be obedient to that. You're going to be obedient to your will and to your desires and to what the world says, or you're going to be obedient to what God wants. And hopefully you'll choose God's will, and hopefully you'll choose God's way. Romans 6:16 spells it out pretty clear. Listen, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. The choice is yours. Where will you choose to give your life? Where will you choose to give yourself? You're called to daily obedience. It's what the disciples were called to. And look, in an instant, they said, yes. Yes, God, I want to follow you. In a moment, they said that. And it's what we're called to do if we're going to be disciples of Jesus as well. I think our closeness to God can be measured by the time it takes us to hear his command and to put our feet on the ground to do what he's called us to do. Is God, you know, are you the type of person that like hems and haws when God talks to you? Are you the type of person that's willing to run to Hardee's and get the cheeseburger? You know, and I'm not bragging on myself at all because I look like an idiot that day. So hear me. What I'm saying is, will you be obedient? When God calls, will you be obedient? When God asks, when we have a need for an outreach, are you going to say, okay, God, I got the time. I'm not doing anything Saturday. I'll be there. When we have a need for greeters, God, I've got the time. I can smile. I can shake hands. I can hug necks. God, I'll do it. And we have a need. When God calls to you, will we obey it? Delayed obedience is disobedience. Think about that. If you've ever told your kid to clean their room and they go, okay, and they meant on Saturday, but you meant today, what do you call it? You call it disobedience. And I think sometimes we say, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want someday. But God wants us to obey right away. Listen, I'm going to ask Pastor Jimmy to come on back up here. And, you know, sometimes when we find ourselves in these situations of either obeying or not, I believe we have to preach to ourselves. We have to tell ourselves that we're going to follow what God's called us to do. You know, the spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. And we have to say, you know what, God, it's about you being greater. It's not about me being greater, but it's about me becoming less, you becoming more. Right? I don't want to fight for my marriage. And you know what? Sometimes we have to say, God, it's about you being first and me being last, right? Sometimes, you know, we'd say that someone's, you know, we'd say our addiction, right? What we're dealing with isn't hurting anyone. You know, it's just affecting me. And so then what would we say in that case? We'd say, you know what, God, the addiction's not hurting anybody but me, so what's the big deal? But you know what? It's not about you. It's about what God wants in your life. It's not about what you want for your life. Sometimes we think about serving in church and we say, I'm just too busy to give any time. And I'll tell you, it's not about what we want. It's about saying, God, here's my life. What do you want in my life? Some of us are holding out and saying, God, when I make this much money, then I'll start tithing. And the truth is this, that no, you won't. You know, we've got to make a decision to obey God today in all of these areas, right? And not try to control every area of our life, but instead say, God, it all belongs to you. God, I give back what is already yours, and I'm going to trust you with the 90 to bless me like it's 100. God, I'm going to trust you in all of these circumstances. You know, sometimes we say, I deserve to be bitter because they hurt me. And you know, the truth is, it's not about us. We need to say, God, the only way that things get better is not when I'm bitter, but when I forgive. And so, God, it's not about me. It's about you becoming greater. It's about me becoming less. And I believe that that's what God's calling us to do, to take captive every thought and to make it obedient to Christ. And then what can we do? We can walk in that obedience. We make a decision that this choice, this thing, is not going to control us anymore. But instead, the Spirit of God is going to control us. Amen. Do you want to be that? Do you want to be that person? I know I do. I want to be God's man. I want to be used by him. I don't want to let my hopes and dreams ever get in the way of what God's hopes and dreams are for my life. So I'm not going to conform to what Rich Jones wants. I'm going to conform to what God wants by taking captive every selfish ambition and making it obedient to Christ. Let's bow our heads this morning. God, you see our hearts. God, you know exactly what we need today. And God, I thank you for speaking to us today through your word. God, it's real easy to raise our hand on a Sunday morning and say, God, forgive my sins, and to turn our hearts in your direction. But God, it's harder to become a disciple. It's harder to follow you and to make our will and our desires be transformed by a God who loves us and knows so much better than we do. And so God, I pray this morning that you would take control of our lives, that you would take first place in our lives, oh God, that we would be seen today on this Thanksgiving Sunday. God, we would be seen as thankful for what you've done and what you've given to us. And God, I pray that we would be mindful, God, not of what we want for our lives, but God, that our hearts would always be open to find what you want for our lives. In Jesus' name. I just want to ask, with every head bowed and eye closed, I wonder if there's somebody here today that says, you know what, I need a new start with God. I've been letting my life be conformed by the world. I've been living according to my desires and my dreams. And I'm saying, God, I want what you want. And so, God, I need a fresh start with you. I need a new beginning. And if that's you today, I want to just pray with you. We'll pray together as a family, actually. The whole church will just, we'll all join you in praying. But if you're here today and you say, I need that new start, that fresh beginning, just lift your hand right where you're at and we'll pray with you. We won't embarrass you. Is there anyone today that says, that's what I need? Anyone today? Okay. Well, then I'm going to assume that all of us have that relationship with Jesus. But maybe you're here today and you'd say, you know what? There's something in me that always chooses me. I want you to know that's natural. That's what this world is all about, always choosing ourselves. But maybe you're here today and you say, I want to choose what God wants. I'm going to take captive those thoughts and I'm going to make them obedient to Christ as he enables me to do that. And how many would say, I just want God to help me do that? Is there anyone here today that says, pray for me? Anyone today? God, you see our hearts, you know our lives, God. And what we need more than anything is to be surrendered to you. God, I pray that we would know you, that we would desire to know you more and more. That Jesus, when you would speak, that we would be obedient, that we would walk when you tell us to walk. We would run where you tell us to run. And God, we would stay when you tell us to stay. But God, I pray that we would not be conformed to the world, we would be instead transformed by renewing our minds, by giving it over to you. That God, those old pathways would be destroyed and new ones would be put in place. That God, as we give our lives to you, you would do a transformational work in each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. Pastor Jimmy and the team lead us as we wrap up.
Christ alone.
Thanks for joining us today for the High Point Church Podcast. If anything you've heard on this podcast has made an impact on your life, we would love to hear about it. You can email us at info@hpcphilly.com. Also, if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so online at hpcgiving.com and help us continue to bring messages to you and your community. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have an amazing week.